Who else should be here?
Jana's gonna join us. I know that. I just talked
I had an email from her that sounded like she was gonna be with us as well. By the time I had pulled everything together, I was kind of shocked at how much stuff had come through my email.
Hello. Yeah.
Can you mute her, Sunny, or not? Oh, I don't know.
I'll mute her.
That's all I got.
Oh, thank you.
We have a guest.
Oz. I don't, yeah.
All right, hold on.
Do introductions. Hey, you guys. Yeah.
Jana can't get on. She said you didn't get a, and Joanne. Sonny?
I sent her the link.
Can you send her the link again?
She can find the link on the website.
She can't go on the website.
Well, how did you check her email?
Why did we? Did we bow her from it?
No, I don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry, but Jana and Joanne can't get in.
I'm sending it right now.
Okay. She's sending it to you.
God, I'm so sick of these virtual meetings.
Yeah, they're so tough because they're so awkward. You know, the fact that we can't be together in a room is really hard.
I haven't sent it yet. I got to pull it down from the website.
So why don't we just, while we're waiting for them, I'm glad they're coming. I hope that you saw my email from yesterday. We have a really, really full agenda, and it's not that we have to deal with it all. I just wanted to put the fact out there that these are all things that are coming to us, and we can table some things if we need to. We have so much going on in the neighborhood that being able to deal with all of these things might not be possible. We have Oz and John. There are five of us, I think, on. The other person who may join us, and I'll just preface with that, is a young woman, I believe. Well, yeah, she seems like, her name is Jennifer Brennan, and she is potentially interested in being on our board, and she contacted me by email. And so that's another person who may join us tonight that will be new to us. Oz, do you want to introduce yourself? You know what, Sonny? He's muted.
Sonny, I'm back.
Oz is muted.
I'm not muted anymore.
Oh, good. Yeah. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. So actually, it's Oz and Jeannie.
Hi.
And we moved in on the 18th of May.
Hello.
Welcome.
Oh, wow.
Are you in?
Welcome.
Thanks.
Whereabouts are you living?
We're in the Midtown Exchange condos.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You moved to the 18th of May?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, just in time for the fireworks. Welcome.
Just in time for everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, welcome, and I'm sure that you probably did not get that necessarily an email that I sent out to our board. This is a board meeting, it will be very informative. You'll hear lots of things, but our board needs to vote on some things, and certainly if you have some comments or information that you want to make, that would be great. Our community meeting is the fourth Tuesday of the month, and I believe, Sunny, Am I right? Are we seeing, is it Senator Hayden? Are we seeing,
Hayden.
Or is it?
No, it's Senator Hayden.
Yeah. So tonight, what I wanted to do, did the rest of you see my email about the different things that I wanted to flip through?
I'm gonna go cook.
Donna, did you catch that?
I don't know. I did get an email from you today, I think.
It just had the agenda for tonight. I sent out an agenda with, okay, great. And John, So what I want to do is just really quick flip through some things. Some of them are information, and I started with just some informative things to tick them off and get them done with. The first one was the city of Minneapolis seeking input on a proposed community preference policy for certain city-assisted housing activities. And I didn't send this out yet because I'm not sure exactly. I was kind of hoping, I knew that Jana would know a little bit more about this, but I wanted to at least tell you why I was forwarding this email to you. There are comments due on this community preference policy. The goal of the community preference policy is to disrupt involuntary displacement of Minneapolis residents who have experienced displacement or who are at risk of displacement. And so there's a long sentence with lots of stuff on it. I don't think that we as an organization need to comment on this. But it's something that if you have a comment, there's a link for you to get to that. Is this clear for everybody? Maybe what we'll do is put this on our website. How does that sound, Sunny?
It may already be on there. Send me what you're looking at.
It's the community preference policy. Bob Cooper sent an email on July 10th.
Yeah, that's, I believe it's on our news. If you go to our website, midtownphillips.org, and then there's in the bar, you can click news, or there's also a menu item kind of underneath the pictures that scroll by.
Jennifer, okay. If we were to call a vote right now, could we just vote and say we support this move?
Well, I don't think we, what they really want is comments online.
Okay.
And so I think it would be more significant, and that's why I wanted to encourage you as a board to just individually go in and make those comments. It's probably has more weight that way. And then there is also a sixth ward candidate forum that is being hosted, a virtual forum on Thursday, July 16th to replace Abdi Warsami, I believe. And so there is a candidates forum. Is that on our website? Is that something we want on our website?
I don't have that up, but we can put it up.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it should be up
okay
so people know.
Okay.
Be educated, myself included.
Okay. Oh, hi, Joanne. Good to have you. Thank you for coming. And so I will forward that email out as well. The next piece of information, I'm having to do all this work on my phone, which is a little bit irritating. And I'm not sure if I need to actually pull this one up. Abbott Northwestern has been working on their, quote, their tank farm. Is everybody familiar with this construction project or not?
I don't think I am.
Anybody know? No. Okay. Abbott Northwestern has a construction project going, and it's not something that we actually have a say on. You know, it's something that we just they have to inform us. Let's make it that way. And so they are working on this project, and let's see, I think I have found, they're ready to move forward. Oh, this is an old one. They're going to be doing a central utility replacement project. And we heard about this at our annual meeting. I don't know if you remember the representative from Abbott who got up and explained the whole thing that they needed to do. So it's basically that they have to keep the community informed. And so I will forward that email out as well, but I wanted to.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Say, Jennifer?
Yes.
Or Sunny? Jana says she needs the link on her message or her phone. She's not getting anything through the email.
She's been emailing me. I sent it. Well, okay.
Well, she needs it on her phone or her message. I'm sorry, but. Are you still there?
Yeah. Oh.
About the app.
Okay. And then. I'm gonna keep going here.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Go ahead.
I was just
okay.
Abbott's footprint isn't changing. So if people are concerned about
no, this, it's not. It's
not changing.
Right, exactly. And at this point, after many, many years, those of you that have been in the neighborhood, we used to have some say about their footprint, and at this point anymore, they're not asking us, and it's disappointing, difficult. I signed the 7-block agreement on behalf of the neighborhood, and so at this point, they're just informing us, and so I'll make sure that I forward these emails. The next one that I have, and I think this is the last one, is a questionnaire from the 3rd Precinct Advisory Committee, 3PAC. Is everybody familiar with that or not?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Okay, they're asking for our opinion on policing in our precinct and city. I'm sure some of you have an opinion. And I've been hearing them. And so the mission of the 3PAC is to provide a forum for community members and staff of the 3rd Precinct to come together on a regular basis to create an environment to share ideas. So there is it's Callie Pliego who is sending this out, and I will also forward this information to you on the board and encourage you again, this is your, we don't need to make, you know, a midtown decision on this. I think it's more telling if people individually reply.
I'm a bit confused. What is this talk about policing in this neighborhood? My neighbors call 911 hundreds of times a week and nobody comes.
Right.
I mean this mythological policing.
Yeah. So here's the next, see, I'm trying not to actually read lots of gobbledygook over it, because this is an email that I've got. Here's the goal, John. The goal of the questionnaire is to provide a low barrier way for people in the 3rd Precinct to share opinions about policing in Minneapolis. So it can be anybody, and it's the 3rd Precinct Advisory Council. They're sponsoring this, and they want your input. So
they'll get it.
Have at it. Yeah, I will. I will send out this link as well, that this email. I'll just be forwarding these emails. So now you'll know why you're getting these four emails. Is everybody clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good? Any questions?
I have a question. How can we get on this email list?
Well, these things will probably actually be put, I don't know, Sunny, I would like to put these on our website. Is that going to work out?
Yeah, I just send me everything you want on there and I'll post it.
I think that that's probably the best way to do it. Because otherwise, yeah, the community information is on our website. So that's the best way. The board emails are for the board. We can put you on a community, you know, on a community thing. But the board emails, those will be separate. Does that make sense, Oz?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, Jana. I see that you are here. Great to have you. Thank you. Glad you got in. Joanne and Jana, what I did is I just went through these four announcements at the beginning. And I just wanted to touch briefly on the next item, and it's how we are represented in the neighborhood. It's kind of a good segue from what we were just talking about, where we as individuals have an opportunity to just go in as regular people and weigh in on these different surveys and so forth. Donna, this is actually in response to the last item that you brought up last time, where you asked if you could represent Midtown on a committee.
Yeah,
and unfortunately,
I got the neighborhoods together today on a meeting with Shauna Pierce with the mayor's
office. I saw that.
Yeah. So, and I could give a little report on that if you wanted me to.
Okay, but and probably we will go ahead and do that. But what I want to make really clear for us as a board is, and this question came up in two ways. We've been receiving emails from people to say something officially from Midtown. And it's a question that comes up because of our website. We get questions and so forth. And Jana, I'll get to you in just a second here. Jana has a question. And so what I wanted to say is just last month you came to us with this opportunity to be involved in a representative way. And we didn't really know what the opportunity was. We weren't prepared for that. And we didn't know what you would be doing for us. And so what I want to at least establish is that when somebody goes from our board as an actual chosen representative to speak for Midtown, we have to go about that in a really informed way. We're all, you know, we have to be careful about what we say on behalf of Midtown, because it's all legal. There's stuff that goes with it. So that's my, my beware, that we need to be careful. We need to be prepared. And I think it's great if you want to go do neighborhood work. And it sounds to me like, Donna, you're just out there, you're pulling these people together, and you live in Midtown, and so you are a neighborhood representative, but not officially from Midtown Phillips organization. We haven't voted for you to do that. Does that make sense,
Donna? You want me to not bring you any reports about this then, and I'll just do it on my own?
That's not what I'm saying. What I want you to be careful of is not saying on behalf of the organization Midtown Phillips that this is something we might want. We need to be careful.
I didn't, in fact. I didn't say anything.
It wasn't clear. It wasn't clear when this came up last month, and it was hard to deal with because we weren't prepared, and we didn't know quite what you were asking. And so I wanted to just kind of jump in and say, we need to be careful about speaking for the neighborhood organization without actually having vetted it with the board. And Jana, how do you want to follow up on that?
She's muted.
Jana, you're muted.
Oh, she's muted. Sorry.
Jennifer, you're freezing.
There you go.
Do you know
now you're on.
Hello?
Freezing out?
Yeah, you freeze up. And so I just wanted to let you know that. So I have two thoughts on this. Number one is what I wanted to bring up is that when things come up through the email, by our bylaws, they should go to you. You are the spokesperson as the president, unless you choose to delegate. And I just think that's important, mostly because everybody has a different opinion. And there was an incident that happened last week where several people responded and folks got confused and they wondered whether it was Midtown or not. And so I would say that you would want to then, if an email comes into the organization, just choose somebody to respond. So there's one voice. If you don't want to do it, and there's a lot of us that would do it, but I think it's better that comes through you as the president, so that it's kind of orchestrated. And then the second thing I wanted to bring up, my understanding and I wasn't at the meeting last month, I don't think, but my understanding was that Midtown did make a motion for Donna to create a multi-neighborhood task force. And so she has put this together, and I sat in on it, and she'll report on it later, but I see that as a Midtown Phillips initiative to try to get all the other neighborhoods together to give input and to know what's going on with Lake Street. And if it needs a stronger motion, I will make a stronger motion, because I think it's a big deal, all the work that she's put in, and I see it on behalf of Midtown.
Thanks. Yeah, and I think that there were probably enough new people either that weren't familiar with this, or that when it came up, it wasn't an ongoing agenda item. And so a lot of people thought this was a new thing that was coming out. And just like Donna informed us last week of our ongoing commitment to racial diversity, that was the thing I didn't get. And so,
Jennifer? Jennifer, there are two things going on. One is the long-term thing that happened starting last year on diversifying the board and getting more people involved. The thing that I was talking about is the task force on Lake Street revitalization, which was a new thing that came up last month. So I'm two things.
Yes, I understand. I understand. And so, I just wanted to be clear, because the new thing threw up few people for a loop, because they weren't understanding where it was coming from or what the roles would be. I also agree with you on the fact that, yep, I'm the board president and I need to sign things. And so where there is something that I need to reply to somebody, I'm happy to do that. And sometimes I may have to say, I'm the board president and we're really glad to hear from you. And our board needs to talk about this. And so that may be an answer that I will give. But that's what comes. And I'm expecting that. If it's just an informational thing where somebody needs to just find out about something, if those can be answered by, I don't know, by Sunny, because she's looking at the website, I think that that's fine. And, you know, we can go with that. So is it clear? Yes, Donna.
Yeah, no, it's not clear.
Donna?
Yeah. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
Okay. I brought up to the board last, I know that it was a new thing that I wanted to add to the agenda, but it was, it happened so fast that I thought it was important that we get the neighborhoods together that are affected by what happened on East Lake Street, and that we meet with the city. And the reason for that is because we are not listened to by the city. We're never listened to. And so I thought we really need to get on the ground floor here and get in there right away when decisions are made. So I did not speak for Midtown at all. In fact, I just sort of facilitated the meeting. The meeting, the Zoom meeting that we had with Sean Pierce. And so, and I did ask your permission, and I think it was voted on. So I do not understand what you're saying. So if you could be a little more clear about that, that would give me a little direction.
It was my impression that we didn't vote on it because the issue was unclear.
It's in the minutes. I abstained.
Okay.
Rand voted against it, and everybody else voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then that's my error. But the main point is not actually what happened in terms of yours working with the meeting. It's just in terms of making it really clear, just like this. This other issue about me responding to emails and requests of the organization, it's really important that when we start to send out representatives of the organization, that we're very clear about that, because we are responsible.
Okay, so I won't speak for Midtown. I'll just facilitate the meeting. And if you want, if we decide that we want the city to respond in some way, you can tell me, I will be your liaison.
And you know what? This is now a great time for the rest of the group to weigh in, because now we're familiar with what the topic is. So I'd like to hear from some other people.
So
I have a suggestion here. Donna's being very clear.
Sure.
She's going in as an individual and wants our input. I think at this, Ed, I also understand if we have voted an official representative in, then Dawn is supposed to speak for us collectively, which I think is going to be very cumbersome, and frankly, it's not going to happen. Is it time to make a motion to rescind the vote we took last month and say, Donna is not officially representing Midtown Phillips in this group that will be set up, with the full knowledge that Donna will remain in conversation with us to put our opinions in, not as the group, but as individuals?
So I think we're missing the point here. Donna set up the meeting. This was her idea. She brought the other neighborhoods in. So just as an outsider, it looks to me like Midtown is initiating this. And maybe we need to do is put something together and bring it back to the board. But what I saw in the minutes is that she was initiating something. It's a great idea. And I actually took time off work today to sit in and listen to it. And it really is some great leadership and what needs to be done to pull all the neighborhoods together to give input on Lake Street revitalization and to support the Lake Street Council. And had she not done that, we would not be at the table. So, I mean, it's crucial work, and I think we want to be front and center, by God. As Midtown Phillips, this is a big deal.
Thank you. And what I want to do is just hear a few more people, and then let's see if we can summarize where we're going. Other comments?
I'm going to log out. We'll get in contact with you through your website. Running out of time. Thank you for allowing us to join.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thank you. These are always really kind of a little wonky, these meetings. We hope to see you at the community forum too. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
All right, we'll try.
So, Jana, I know you weren't here and you have only the benefit of the minutes. Sunshine, do you have any other, you were here, so do you have any comments?
No, I think Donna should continue on in her efforts. I support that.
Yeah, and I don't, what I think people are missing is that I'm not talking about what she's doing. I'm talking about how Midtown is doing things. How many people get that? Could you nod your head that that's what I'm talking about? Okay, I see John. I can only look around. No, Janet's not getting it. But you weren't here for the meeting last time, so Janet might be a little
right, but that's why we have meeting minutes, and if the minutes aren't good enough, then they should be changed.
Well, the person who took them isn't here, so that's difficult. And so I think some of you have gotten my point. I think that it's agreed, and certainly by me, please understand, I am thankful that Donna is doing this. John, do you want to make your motion, or do you want to leave things as they stand, and we'll go on from here?
I fully support Donna doing this, and I have absolute trust that Donna will do this in a responsible way that's, you know, reflected the opinion of the board. I only mention that as a procedural thing if it got us out of, you know, out of the fix. But if people are comfortable staying this way, let's stay this way.
I would like to hear what happened at the meeting today that Donna facilitated.
Well, I took minutes.
Yeah.
tell you about it.
I'm going to move on. And say that my point was made and understood by at least one or two people. And then Donna, you actually are next on the agenda anyway. And I wanted you to spend some time. You wanted to talk about racial diversity. And then why don't you give your report about that? We'll just go right into your Lake Street thing, and then you can go into the racial diversity.
So my understanding is you want to hear about this meeting today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I never made any decisions for Midtown. None at all. I just facilitated the meeting. And the people that were there were Cam Gordon, Shauna Pierce, Melanie, I'm missing her last name, but she's from Longfellow. And Jana was there. Wayne Bug, I think most of us know Wayne. He's a businessman, small businessman, whose business got somewhat destroyed. Brad and Carol Pass, and myself and Tabitha Montgomery from Powderhorn. She's the director of the Powderhorn. Shauna Pierce is she sits on Mayor Fry's Economic Development and Inclusion Committee, and they're working on the rebuilding of East Lake Street. And that's the person I really wanted to connect with, because my concern is about East Lake Street, and hopefully yours is too. And I went around. I didn't speak really, except like I said, I facilitated, and I asked every person in the meeting representing every neighborhood what their major concerns were. And so the first person to speak was Brad Pass, Brad and Carol from Epic, and their major concerns were, first, they wanted to get more diversity represented, the Native American community, the Somali community, the Black community. That was their first thing. And then their major concern was crime. They were talking about just the horrible conditions right now. And we don't have to go into that, because we're all living it right now. And also for the business people, just the crime that's on Lake Street that's causing them a lot of problems too. And then they were talking about how they wanted, they're talking about moving some of those businesses temporarily into the Sears warehouse that they're trying to save, because they said they have a new roof and new windows, and you know, the thing was just the, it was the, it's the that depot over there that they're trying to save. And I brought that up with Shauna, and she just sort of like didn't want to touch that issue. And so I guess maybe it's because they're being sued by Brad and Carol. So they, she couldn't like probably go into it. So then the next person I asked to just put forth his concerns was Wayne Bug, who really, he really stressed that though the Lake Street Council, the business, he said that they really need a lot of help from the city. So they're looking for the city to come alongside them, the Lake Street Council, and help them. And he was talking about opening in phases. Like he said, because there's so much crime right now on Lake Street, that if they could get the businesses that just need a little bit of help to open, like new windows or something, opened right away, that would lessen the crime, he thinks, because they would have a presence on Lake Street. So he's talking about they really need the city to help them open up faster, especially businesses like his that, you know, didn't get that badly destroyed. They need assistance and they need an engagement from the city. And also, this is my issue and he brought it up, so I said nothing, and we only had an hour and we didn't even have time to get everything in. But their big worry is that Lake Street will be gentrified and that the small businesses will be pushed out. And so Shauna really did emphasize with that and said the city is working on that. They're looking at a number of different strategies to keep that from not happening. And then both Tabitha and Melanie talked about how time is not on our side. We need to pull together. We need the small businesses put back in place. And Tabitha talked about we do not need to look at any more stats. She said we've done all kinds of studies. We really need to pull together. She said we need to focus. Tabitha said we need to focus on what we already know. We have the roadmap for racial equality in this area and all of that stuff. It's all been done. So she's talking about time is of the essence, and so is Melanie. And so how is the city gonna help us? So then, Shauna, Cam Gordon was also on this meeting with us too. Jana, can you remember what he said? I don't know what kind of input he put in.
I think he mostly talked about being able to support the small businesses and kind of supported Shauna in talking about the idea of if their building was damaged bad enough, putting them in an alternative spot,
right,
until their building was fixed, and maybe people in the neighborhoods, they could follow the Super Bowl volunteer model to help people move in and move out, but not losing the little businesses and worried about the big corporations coming in and buying folks out. And remember, he asked if people had gotten offers, and Wayne talked about people around him that got offers like day three before they even had time to heal, and that people are being solicited to sell to corporations already, and that a lot of the little businesses are renting, so their landlords could sell, and they would have no home.
Right. Yeah, and I did put a little input in there and thought we should get the landowners together. Shauna thinks that's not possible, but Jana had some ideas about that after the meeting. And so, and then, everybody, I think the city has heard the issue about there are concerns about it getting being gentrified, and they and she laid out a few strategies about that, how they could keep that from happening, and so I don't know. Do you want to add anything, Jana?
No, I think you did a great job.
Oh, thank you. So okay. That's my report. And we're getting together again next week. Same time, same station. You're muted, Jennifer.
Sorry. Oh, now I don't have my picture. Yeah, sorry. I was trying to keep some of the background. I'm in a home. Trying to keep some of that out of the way. Thank you. That was a great report, and I'm trying to take notes tonight of just the things, the main responses. Donna, if you could you just write up a quick synopsis of the most important things that you said tonight?
I took minutes, and I plan on sending them out to everybody on that thread, that includes you. I don't know if you've been getting these emails,
yeah. Right?
And so yeah, I will be sending that out in a few days.
Yeah, and so we'll include that in our minutes for tonight. Are there any motions or contributions, any responses to what Donna has brought forward from the rest of the board?
Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, and I just want to say that these are not meetings, I think, where decisions are going to be voted on and made. I think they're meetings that we're going to push for things, but, you know.
Okay, great.
I still can't understand what you're bringing, Jennifer.
It's strictly... You know, I apologize. I am a school teacher. We have to follow rules. And I've been involved in neighborhood work forever. And I am only thinking of times where people have wanted to speak for a neighborhood and they weren't really representing the neighborhood. And we have to be legally careful about speaking for Midtown, the incorporation. And that's all I'm speaking to, Donna. I totally love what you're doing. I just want to make sure when we have a board meeting and we make decisions for the organization that everybody is ready to make them and that they have the information. I hope that's really clear to everyone.
Okay.
So Jennifer, just to clarify, so let's just say that Donna's having one of these meetings and one of the neighborhoods says, let's push the legislature for such and such. What I would see happening is that then Donna would put that on the board agenda and bring it back for people to discuss. Yeah. And then we would have an action. And then as an organization, we would be pushing the legislature for something. Right now, what I see is just trying to make sure that neighborhoods have a voice at the table and are there in place to assist the Lake Street Council and the businesses rather than whatever's happening way up high at City Hall somewhere and then kind of hitting us without us having any input or knowing what's going on.
Yeah, and that's my concern too. I saw none of us at the table, and we really need to be there.
Yeah, well, I think that everybody, I think we're all on the same page now, and that we're going to function according to that. And, you know, this is sort of just a precedent that we need to keep remembering this. And so, actually, Donna, you did a great thing by informing me of something that I also have missed. Can you go right into your, just give, again, that a little background. I don't know why I was so out of the loop on this. How are you working towards our racial diversity goal?
Well, first I'll just, for the new people, that includes you. In November, it was decided that we were too vanilla and that we need to have more people of color on the board. And so Jana actually looked at me because I brought the issue up, and she looked at me and pointedly said, well, what are you going to do about that, Donna? And so I said, I think that what we need is to find out what we're doing wrong and what we can do to ameliorate this problem. And so in January, we didn't meet in December, but in January, in those months, I interviewed some people that work on this kind of thing, some people of color, and I read a bunch of stuff, and I watched a bunch of TED Talks, and I gave a little presentation, which basically was the best practices to recruit and keep people of color on our board. And I'm sorry that Misty isn't here, but, you know, I think we're doing some things right with her in that we're not treating her like a token. And that's what happens a lot of times with boards and corporations, is they recruit people of color just so they can say, oh, we're diverse, but then they don't listen to them. So we want to keep people of color on our board, and we got to listen to them. And then another point I thought was really important is that allow them to make mistakes just like the rest of us, and don't discount them just because they made a mistake, because they're learning to be leaders, you know, and just like all of us, you know, we're always learning. And so this month I read, so then I just sort of dropped the ball, and actually Rand was the one that emailed me and said, what are you going to do about this diversity thing? Have you dropped it? Are you going to continue? And I emailed him back and said, oh my gosh, I really should bring this up again. And that's why I brought it up last month. And so this month I read the book White Fragility. And it really, really impressed me, because I do a lot of wrong things. And she actually, I always felt like, okay, if I'm not racist personally, if I'm not prejudiced personally, what's happening is that systemically our system is, and everybody can see that. But she brought up that if we continue to behave like this, we're like the pillars to the systemic racism. And I thought, wow, what a good point. So we actually, from the bottom up, have to change our behavior. And so so I just want to bring up, just, this is such a meaty book, I hope everybody reads it, but I'd like to bring up some of the main points that she talks about. Why is it, the name of it, the subtitle of it is why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. So she says, she's a white lady who's been teaching diversity and inclusion for 20 years, and she's grappled with this question because she gets so much pushback when she goes into workshops to teach corporations and boards and stuff to be more diverse. But she also, like I said, stresses the importance of interrupting our problematic racist behavior. So in her book, she describes North American society as deeply racist, separate, and unequal, in which white people benefit greatly. And once we accept our positions within racial hierarchies, they seem natural and difficult to question. So the system of racism begins with ideology, reinforced across society, in schools, textbooks, political speeches, movies, ads, holidays, etc. And the ideologies obscure racism as a system of inequality, and white people are seldom aware of it. But their effects on people of color are devastating and well documented by statistics from the US Census to the UN. And Ms. D'Angelo writes that only white people can be racist because they have the collective institutional and social power and privilege to back up our prejudices. So she's saying that people of color can be biased and they can be prejudiced, but they can't be racist because they don't have the system that backs that up. And then she writes really eloquently about white supremacy. And she states that it's about how we are culturized into conscious or subconscious feelings of superiority, because whiteness is the standard of which everything is measured, the ideal for humanity, and a socio-political economic system of domination based on racial categories that benefit those who are defined as white. And though we hardly notice, it's pervasive and it's subtle. And it describes the culture we live in, like a fish swimming in water. We're swimming in racism. And she gave many examples of this privilege, this system that we live in. For instance, if we're white, we probably could have been born in any hospital in this nation. Okay, we could have been, we could feel like we belong almost anywhere, where people of color don't have those feelings in a lot of places. And these systems we have found could not be changed through legislation. So the boomers, I'm a boomer, I think you are, Jennifer, the boomers, my generation made the mistake of thinking that the law would make everything all right. How can we be racist? We marched in the 60s, not realizing that racism, she said, it's like a virus that infects us and mutates into different forms in order to stay alive in society. So after the civil rights movement, it was not acceptable to be associated with explicit racist acts. None of us would do that stuff, you know? So a new form of racism has taken place in our society, and it's called colorblindness, an insistence that we do not see color. And for one to declare that race matters is the one who is the racist. So if you bring this up and point it out, you're the racist. And colorblindness was a promised remedy to racism, but actually continued to perpetuate it. Because if we cannot see the problem, we cannot change it. And then she says, most white people don't think of themselves as racist because they say, well, we were taught to be nice, to treat everybody equally. And but the parents, our parents who taught us to be nice and treat everybody equally, don't act like that. They separate themselves. They've moved away from Black people and people of color. They send their kids to all white schools. And so, you know, so she made a really good point. They don't act like everybody's equal. And the most difficult reason, I loved this part of the book. She talked, the most difficult reason to talk to white people, I'm guilty of this, oh my God. I really related to this part about racism is because of the good, bad binary. Because of the civil rights movement, it became unacceptable to be a blatantly racist. You could not be a good person and participate in racism. Only bad people are racist. Racism was isolated to simple, extreme acts of prejudice. To suggest that I'm a racist is to deliver a deep moral blow. And then all my energy goes into defending my character rather than examining my character. The good-bad binary makes it nearly impossible to talk to white people about their racism. This is at the root of all white defensiveness. Also, if I see it as a binary and place myself in the not racist category, what further action is required of me? None. No action. Because I'm not a racist. And racism is not my problem. White people take no responsibility for problematic behavior, from prejudiced assumptions to telling a racist joke. If I have cross-racial relationships, so quote, how can I be a racist? I have friends who are Black. How can I be a racist? My son is married to a person of color. How can I be a racist? I live in a diverse neighborhood. All of those things pertain to me, you know? So, like somehow that closes the case. Case closed, no more discussion. White norms are violated by naming white power. But unequal power relations cannot be challenged if they are not acknowledged. She says that liberals are the worst because we actively seek to protect what we perceive as our moral reputations rather than recognize or change our participation in systems of inequality and domination. All our energy goes into defensive behavior, crying, denying, anger, etc., instead of looking at our behavior. These actions function beautifully to make it nearly impossible to engage in necessary dialogue and self-reflection that can lead to change. So then she talks about I'm almost done here, but I think this is important. She talks about when she's in a training. And so the moment she'll name some racial problematic dynamic or action happening in the room, white fragility erupts. The point of feedback is now lost and hours must be spent repairing this breach. White fragility presses the person giving feedback into silence. If we as white people realize there's no face to save and understand that we have blind spots and are unconscious or consciously, if we recognize that we have blind spots and unconscious investment in racism, knowing we did not set this system up, but it does unfairly benefit us, and I am responsible for interrupting stopping our racial patterns, our racist patterns. And it must be more important, stopping our patterns must be more important than working to convince others that we don't have them. And I will feel gratitude when a non-aware racist assumption is pointed out to me from now on. In her training, she writes that when white people get emotional, anger, crying, etc., over some aspect of their racial assumptions, all the attention immediately goes to them, demanding time and energy from everyone in the room, while the people of color are abandoned and even blamed, like a first responder to the scene of an accident, confronting the comforting the person whose car struck the pedestrian. There you go. It's a really good book, and I think important that we all read it.
Jennifer, we can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. I've got a baby noise in the background and I keep muting myself for your benefit. Thanks for bringing that forward, Donna. I've heard about that book from a lot of different directions, and that was, I think, a good synopsis. And I think one of the things that we could consider doing for this little period of time, if it's gonna be on our agenda for every meeting, which is what I understand is what we're supposed to be doing. At some point, when we feel like, Donna, if you feel like you've given us enough information, it might be that we should start to actually pursue some directions, because, you know, we're halfway through the year. We need to think about our board and who's on our board. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more in the, about this young woman who wants to maybe become a member of our board. You know, we have to decide how to do this. So maybe we'll start to, you know, propose some action. John?
Oh, no, I'm just...
Did you have a comment, John?
Nope, just adjusting.
Any other comment? Any other comments?
Okay. I have one. I think that I don't have to do this. I think if someone else wants to do something for 10 minutes, they could too. You know, mm-hmm. about racism or about diversity. I'll do it next month, but you know, if someone wants to start thinking about probably doing a little activity or something, you know. So
that would be great. We'll put it on as an agenda item, and if people want to volunteer, that would be great. So if there is no further discussion about this, anybody else? Our next item is a finance report. Jana, are you prepared to do that?
Yes. So a couple of things about...
Hi.
What? Are you ready?
Yeah, we're waiting. Yeah.
Okay, because somebody was talking, so I wasn't sure if we were ready or not. So a couple of things. First of all, I sent around the financial reports from Robert Thompson, and we can accept and receive those tonight. We're always a month behind because the June bank statement doesn't end up coming until the middle of July, and so we're always like a month behind. If you remember, we had to like put responses together on the Neighborhood 2020, which is the future of neighborhoods. That has been extended 3 times now by the NCR department. And so now it was extended until September 30th, 2021. So my guess is that when our contract ends the end of December, my guess is we're probably not going to get a lot of money with the economic crisis that the city is in. And so, you know, we had made comments on getting $4 million for our department and having regular $70,000 a year that we have given to community organizations and partnerships. And my guess is by this fall, we may be talking about our 2021 budget a little differently, but we'll see. We'll see what comes out of the budget process. But you know, they're having to cut over $158 million worth of money out of the budget. So it's a huge thing. And then the third thing that will come up probably in September is we still have some uncontracted dollars. So we may want to start talking about those next month and see if we can, you know, see what we can do with them to make sure they're contracted before 2021 comes around. So at least we have some money to operate in that year. So that's kind of the finance report of just what's happening on the political scene. I've been involved in several conversations about future funding, and it's right now, as we're having this meeting, the budget hearing is going on, and they're talking about the 2021 budget right now as we're having our meeting. So when you see my face disappear, it's because I'm getting text about the 2021 budget, and so then I like turn off to see what's going on, just to kind of keep a tab on what the testimony is, because I'd like to be at both. Anyway, that's it.
Any questions for Jana? Jana, I took a few notes, and I did see Robert Thompson's email, the one that you forwarded. And then if you could, Jana, just write a little paragraph about what you just said for the minutes and send it to me, that would be helpful so that I don't miss anything. I'm trying to take notes, but if you could say,
Go ahead. I would make a motion to accept and receive the May 2020 financial reports for Midtown Phillips.
I'll second it.
Is there a second? Okay, Donna has seconded. All those in favor, please wave at your screen. Wave at your screen. Okay, thank you. That's the easiest way for me to do this. Jana brought up a really important point, is that at some, I sound like maybe September is when we really need to start putting together, proposing our budget for the next year, and to start thinking about what we're going to be saying in our annual meeting. And so, Jana, if you have some insight or some proposals for that, if you could get that ready for our next meeting, that would be great.
So I would just say I don't think that we can bring a proposed budget to the board until September, until we know how these public hearings have come out. We don't know if we have any 2021 money. So there's no proposal to be made until we know if we get money from the city. Does that make sense?
Any questions from anybody else? Seeing none, the next item on our agenda is board membership. And I alluded to a woman who contacted us this week. Her name is Jennifer Brennan. And I responded to her as the president and asked if she would send us some bio information and her address so we could figure out what part of the neighborhood Midtown she lives in, and why she wants to be involved. And the reason I'm bringing this out is I think that it's really good information for us to ask when people say they want to be involved on the board, is to just really find out why do you want to do this? So I did that. and asked that she attend tonight. She said she was really interested in doing it and to learn about it. I haven't seen her here tonight, but it may come up that she will be interested in joining us, and maybe we'll hear from her in the future. Mm-hmm. So, I just want to be clear as a board, I think we can, in the absence of being able to have public, you know, in-person meetings, that the board can appoint to cover vacancies. Am I correct about that?
So if it's an at-large position, usually what we've done in the past is posted it in our ad that we're looking for an at-large person, like 30 days out or whatever, and the board certainly has the opportunity to appoint between meetings. If it's a district person, it says in the bylaws that the district has to get together and appoint their own district rep and then bring that to the board. The board does not weigh in on district reps, the districts do. That's what's in our bylaws.
That was my understanding. And I think the problem is just that we have to do these Zoom meetings. And so, we'll just have to see where she lives and what she's interested in. That brings me to my next item, and that would be that I don't know if you all received this email. I received an email from Rand Redereth saying that he was ready to leave the board. Did everybody see that email?
Yeah.
Nod your heads or something. Yeah, everybody saw that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so would someone like to make a motion to accept his resignation from the board?
Sure. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. That was Sunny makes a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. That was Joanne, right? So it's been moved and seconded that we accept Rand's resignation from the board. All in favor, wave at your screen.
I have a point of discussion.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to say that Rand lives right off of Lake Street, and he also is a veteran, and I think the trauma of what happened over Memorial Day and through June has affected all of us, and so I wish him well in his break from neighborhood activity, but I just want to acknowledge and recognize that everybody is going through a lot of trauma. I mean, I am crabbier than I've ever been because I can't hardly stop crying about all of this. And so I just wanted to say that for the record, because Rand has done some great stuff along Lake Street over the years and on the Greenway. And I've appreciated him helping out when our block has been in a lot of harm's way.
I'm trying to keep notes here, Jana, as to what you were saying. And you want to wish him well and acknowledge and recognize all the trauma that we've gone through and that he's done some great stuff, especially for Lake Street and the Greenway. And I would echo that. And I'll send him personally a thank you email. And are there any other comments regarding the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, would you wave at the screen if you're in favor of accepting his resignation? Okay, thank you for that. So yes, I will email him and thank him and accept his resignation. So we will have another open board seat as well. And so then the last two items on our agenda were how to proceed with discussions on the loan program and then if there were any updates about the encampments. So We're already looking at 8:45. And what I had hoped for in terms of the loan program, since our last discussion wasn't really productive, was maybe some suggestions from some people about how to move forward on what we might need to do. Go ahead, have at it.
Well, just to throw it out there, I got an email from Stacy Swornson, who...
Sunny?
Yeah.
Could you back up just a minute? I missed those two meetings. Could you guys give a synopsis of what happened? All I heard was Rand's interpretation of what happened.
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
Okay.
Go ahead, Donna, if you want to do it. Go ahead.
Well, I was sort of crabby, and I don't like this organization because I don't think they're doing anything but holding our money. And so we got into it. And then Rand thought I was attacking them. Probably was. But that's my interpretation.
John, you were there. Do you have anything to add?
I feel there was an honest discussion about what, how this loan program is actually going to work for the benefit of the people in the neighborhood. I know that some board members took that as an attack. I felt I asked a few honest questions, such as, how do we make this money available to people who can't work with interest? And frankly, I got a very satisfying answer to that. I did not see attacks. I saw questions and an honest attempt to make this work better.
Sunny, do you have anything to add?
I'm just putting a note that I got from Stacy at CEE end of last week. She just wanted to remind us that the annual fee that we pay them to manage the home loan is due in September. So it might behoove us to make a decision one way or another what we might want to do.
I have a question for Sunny.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Sunny, do you recall what the annual fee is and then what the processing fee is for each loan? Because that has been an obstacle for neighborhoods around the city. And Stacy is the person that manages our contract with the city at the city finance office. She doesn't work for CEE, but she manages the contract that we have between Midtown Phillips and our NRP money and CEE, but she is a city staff person. Used to be an NRP person for like 20 years and then an NCR person. And now she's over with Bob Cooper managing NRP contracts. Just as a point of clarity.
I don't know what our fees are. It would be in the contract. I don't know off the top of my head.
Because it might be good to bring that back at the next meeting and couple people take the lead that heard the presentation and bring forward some discussion. Maybe that's all we have on the agenda is to just talk about that, because Sunny's right. If we have to pay an upfront fee for next year, we probably need to decide what we're doing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sunny.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm kind of jumping into it, but we, tomorrow our ad is due for the alley. So while we're having this discussion, it might be good to think about what we want to do in August. I need to send something in tomorrow.
Did we advertise our loan program last month in the alley?
I've been putting a little blurb in pretty regularly, and I can certainly use the space this time as well, but if we're going to be changing it, I think that pauses any applications that would be taken in at that time. So I don't know if we want to continue to advertise it until we make changes. But that's up for the board's decision, I guess.
Are there any proposed changes that people have thought of already?
I think I have to agree with Sunny that if we're gonna change it, you know, it wouldn't hurt to just keep it out this time. I mean, we could go ahead and not change it, but then put it in all the other months.
I would agree with Sunny and Donna that we probably don't want to advertise it if people are thinking about changes. If you're thinking about leaving it the same, then maybe so. But if people are thinking about changes, it seems like a couple people should maybe, you know, chat between each other and from what they heard and bring something back as an action on the board agenda next month. And that we just talk about, that we make a decision and set it for next month so that we get it done.
As a, can I just throw the question to the group? As a board, do we want to keep the home loan program and start there? Because there was some discussion at the meeting whether that money should be reallocated altogether. I don't have a strong feeling one way or another, but
I would suggest that that would be a topic for a board meeting where we had enough time to talk about it. Should be a little presentation, like a summary of what.
Go ahead, Jana. I'll go after you. Go ahead, Jana.
A little presentation like next month about what was proposed and what some of the what CEE said. Could be amended, know what we're paying them annually, know what each processing fee is, and then we're better apt to, with that material in front of us, to think about it financially. Is this a good use of our funds? And in the framework of knowing that anything we put into a revolving loan or a business agreement, that we probably want to get it back because it could be the only money we have for the next 5 years. Just saying.
The magic question then is who has time to do.
Could you repeat that for my benefit? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
My computer died, so now I'm on my phone.
Oh, I saw you were reconnecting. Jana was suggesting that we do, and this is something I'm thinking about too, that we actually need to have somebody take a look at the guidelines and do a kind of a synopsis of what our program is. You know, give an overview of the program and what we're paying for it, and it, you know, if that person is interested, they could propose changes. It might be good to send that information out ahead of our meeting and to have people respond by email, so that we can start to think about this before we're actually sitting and talking together. What did you, Sunny, you had a comment?
Well, I was trying to paste something from this email and it's, I don't know why it's not pasting. I was just putting some of the comments that, why aren't you pasting? Weird. Okay.
And Jeff, sounds like this would be a really great program, but it's just being underutilized, is my understanding. And part of that, I wonder, is when we send out the information about the loan, when we advertise, is it in 3 or 4 languages or just English?
It's been advertised primarily in English. Our ad is usually in English because I get the information like the day before it's due, and frankly, we don't have time to get it translated.
Because I think that's probably the biggest barrier, you know? The people that may need this program the most may be our Mexican, African-American, Somali, Hmong neighbors that don't know about the program because of a language barrier.
Mm-hmm. And that was one topic of our conversation. And I think one of the things we originally had available to us was that the servicer was doing some of that translation. And now I'm personally not sure if they are. So that would be one of those things, you know, in terms of an overview of the program to find out actually what's being provided. And so now if you look on your chat, you can see what Sunny has included in terms of information. She's copying and pasting the parts of the email.
These are just some additional notes from Stacy. For some reason, I couldn't send them all as one comment. That was too many characters, I guess, but.
Is there anybody that would like to spearhead this discussion?
I really don't have the time. I could help, but I can't spearhead it.
I will at least try to get a hold of the most current set of guidelines for the program. And I will try to find out the fees for the year. I will ask about translation. And
I do have the most recent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll find the most recent program guidelines. I'll do.
I do have them. They were sent out last month. So you should have them in your.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anything else that people would like in terms of information? And I will try to find that.
Possible other vendors? I mean, these fees still seem high. Current fees are $2,500 a year. So if you're taking out, I think the max for the loan is $7,500. So you have to pay $2,500 a year plus a 10% origination fee per loan. That's steep. Hmm. That's really
okay.
Steep. So if we can
that's why neighborhoods are bailing out a CEE because of all the money of their NRP funds that they're taking to process these loans. And so at some point you got to decide whether it's worth it or not, or whether it would be better spent. I mean, another option is what we ended up doing in Loring Park is we took the money and we put it into the development of affordable housing. And then as the affordable housing is paid for, then we get repaid and then we can revolve it. We can put it into another project. And then, you know, it gets revolved and we can take a little bit out for admin if we want. But we have a revolving source of income so that we're not just giving it away to an organization and we're still doing good work in housing.
Yeah. My understanding from the last meeting was people aren't coming and looking for these loans. The money is sitting there and people aren't applying for them.
Right.
Well, I think we've got the input we need from the community. The community is not interested in this.
Well, John, this is where, you know, I have a neighbor across the street who certainly needs a new roof. I have a neighbor down the street who needs an old member of our community who needs a new roof.
Mm-hmm.
But these fees are walloping.
Yeah.
And I don't know if those are charged to our program or charged to the person, but it feels like, because actually my husband and I looked into this because we're needing a new roof in a couple of years, and we were thinking, well, maybe we can do it through the neighborhood. It feels a little bit like bait and switch, because yeah, you think you're going to get one thing, and then with the fees.
I agree, the fees are walloping, and presented, if I was in your position needing a new roof, I'd be comparing what a bank would offer me as opposed to what this loan program would offer me at this point.
Right. But that's why I'm wondering if there are other vendors that could do this
mm-hmm.
more cheaply. I don't know, maybe through the land grant people that do money work. Maybe they have a different vendor that they use that would offer loans at a lower origination fee and fee per year.
I would be willing, I would take that on. I could check with the city pretty easily to see if there's other vendors that neighborhoods use. I could mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah.
And then what that would Sunny be really said great. About what Sunny said about other we have to pay for next year. So I also want to know if there's a third level of paying CEE on top of the origination fee and the charge for processing the loan. Because that was a little, that was kind of news to me. If there's yet another fee we pay them, it would just be good to know.
Yeah.
I will look into that part. And Jan, I'm really thankful for your volunteering to look for other vendors. That was going to be my question. So what I will try to put together is an informational to see if I can pull things together, both from the meetings that we've just recently had and from the actual guidelines, from whatever I can get via email. The comments, Sunny, that you just posted, those were some of those from minutes, or were they from her? I have her email. What was that last comment?
That last one was after our meeting with Jim Hasnick, which we had in June board meeting, his one of his follow-up comments was just a summary of the proposed ideas. Which was eliminating 0% and replacing it with the deferred loan.
Right.
So that's.
Yeah, if you could send that to me, that would be great. Because yep. that would be helpful. I think I got those. I now have email overload, and I'm trying to pull all the relevant bits together. Sometimes it's a lot, and my internet coverage is not always great. So I think that this has been a really good and measured evaluation of where we are in this discussion. How many people feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think now we've decided what we need to know, and we'll try to put this together, and I will put it on the agenda for our next board meeting. In terms of the next board meeting, are there any other new business items that we need to put on our agenda for August?
Jennifer, I would kind of like, I would like Donna and John to have at least 10 minutes of the next few meetings to tell us what's going on with the encampment by their house, because I spent some time at Donna's house, and I've driven by since John has called, and I can't imagine living next door to what they're living next to, and I think it's really important for us to keep our ear to the ground, because there's a lot of policy discussions about how encampments are okay on public spaces, and it's causing, they're becoming very unhealthy, and it's causing a lot, there's a lot of crime that's happening out of some of them, and I would just like to get an update from Donna and John on how it's going, because it's yeah. It's bad over there.
It's bad. Can I chime in here?
Well, that was our...
Can I chime in here, please?
Yeah, that was our last... Yeah, that was our last item on our agenda for tonight, was an update on the encampments. Okay. I was just asking for a new business. We can just go ahead and go.
Yes, please. I think everybody's aware from the emails that you've been receiving the extent of the dealing that's going on. It's going on quite publicly. Large quantities are being exchanged. I think everybody was informed that explosive devices were tossed into the camp Sunday evening. My original email said they sounded like M80s. Fortunately, a neighbor on 15th had a backyard, alley facing security camera who caught the explosion on film. It definitely was not M80s. I was a juvenile delinquent. I know what an A, I heard it, I didn't see it. These were not M80s. There's construction going on 14th and 15th between 27th and 25th. Not construction. The gas guys are out there replacing the lines. They went through the union and demanded that they have a police car present at all points, times that they are working on those two blocks, which I've never heard of that before. But it did give us access to speak to an officer. I showed on my phone the video that was posted on our neighborhood chat site of the explosion. The officer said those were definitely Molotovs. So at this point, Molotov cocktails are being tossed in. We know that Molotovs were tossed into the camp. It's to say the situation is out of control is, yes, thank you, Don. I see. It's beyond, it is absolute anarchy.
It's beyond out of control.
And the evening the explosion happened, I know at least four households called and reported it to 911. A squad car did come. Rolled down 14th Avenue, did not so much as slow down as neighbors were trying to get the squad's attention. No investigation was done after explosives were thrown in. It's only by the grace of God that nobody was hurt in that incident. It is, Jana can confirm this, this message about the attack on the camp was sent out to I don't know how many people, to community safety, to Grant Snyder. Jana sent it out to a dozen people.
Yeah.
I contacted the guy in the whoever in charge of CPED property, because it's CPED property. Later, when I got that video, I reattached it to those emails and sent it out to date. Not one goddamn person has responded to us. And Donna, are you pissed as hell about this?
Pardon?
Are you pissed as hell about this? That people throwing Molotov cocktails? Nobody in the city government is responding.
I know. And then talk about the open air market drug dealing. Just, they don't even care if we see them. We'll call
people
the cops.
People are taking large bags of heroin out of cars that have parked there, using car hoods as a table, and splitting it into small packages and bringing it into the lot to sell. We are witnessing this. We are reporting it on a daily basis.
And John, talk about those guys that came into the camp with their flashlights 3 nights.
They're the same ones. We saw the car. We saw the car that set off the Molotovs. They are the same crew of guys. They're not campers. They are some sort of weird, they're gangbangers of some sort who are harassing the campers. I don't know if anybody has had a chance to see the video was taken. Those flames that were coming out of those bombs that were thrown are higher than my house. This is active terrorism going on. And I can honestly say the city doesn't give a flying fuck what's happening here.
And what happens if they hit a gas line that they're working on?
There are open gas lines out there. I mean, for God's sakes, the construction crew went to the union and said they wouldn't work on our block unless there was a constant police presence.
They don't care about the people living on it.
No. But
when they're working, they got the cop car there.
Yeah. What does it say when a construction crew says they're afraid to work on a city block? And yes, shit happens. I realize that. But Donna, can you confirm there's probably 200 911 calls going out from our block alone every week? And literally not one response. Callie, Jana, I know Callie is your friend, but the fact that I sent her that message that day about the explosion, then sent her the video, and she still could not take 5 minutes to respond, bitch needs to be fired. Pardon my language, I should not use that word, I realize that. But we're paying her to do something, and she's not doing it. I don't care how busy she is.
So John, I don't really know Callie except working with her and Phillips as a CCP safe person, but I know that my CCP safe person, because of the budget crunches, only works one day a week. So Callie lives in Central. She might be responding just because she's a neighbor. I don't know that she's working. She could have been laid off.
She claimed to be our community safety person. And if we are paying the salary of a community safety person and reporting that Molotovs are going off next door to my house, I expect a response within 24 hours.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know. Pardon me for having a temper tantrum, but we are under stress. We are living in a war. We are living in a war zone right now. I see it. I can see it in Donna's face. I see it in my neighbors' faces. We are right back to where we were during the riots, setting up barriers, trying to defend ourselves, and getting absolutely no response. I don't know, Janet, you've been great. How many people did you send that email to yesterday describing the situation?
About 20 today and yesterday.
Yeah, and 24 hours later, how many responses?
None. Zero.
Absolutely.
So, John, I'm wondering, so I have a story to tell you, and I don't know whether you guys want to do this or not, but remember when the 2900 block of 18th Avenue got the TV cameras to cover them?
Yeah.
So I was sitting with Inspector McGinty because I had scheduled a time because I wanted to know what happened during the riots, where they were, why they weren't on the street. I wanted to know why we were abandoned. And so he took a meeting with me, and I was sitting there for 2 hours while we were talking about this. While I was there, he started getting demand emails from Alondra Cano ordering him to put police on that block. And I know it was in direct response to the fact that it got on TV, because that block, if you remember, the woman who was in the story goes to our block breakfast meetings at Banyan. She's the lead organizer over there that lives there. And so I know that, and she's a Latino block leader, and I know that Alondra hadn't called her back. And so to me, that was like in direct response to that press. I don't know if that's what we need to do, is get the press over here or send your video. Because you're not the only one. I'm getting calls from Alina that gunfire is going through their building. So when Alina decides to pull up and leave rather than expand, we got a problem here.
Yeah. I did send, when I saw the story in the Star Tribune early this morning about what's going on in East Phillips, which is the second story, what the story in the Star Tribune did not include, but Channel 9 News included this when they reported on this, is there are Latino men in East Phillips who are patrolling the neighborhood at night armed, and they're doing it openly. Yep. They're walking around with guns to chase people away.
Yep.
The fact that this is happening in Minneapolis is a national disgrace. And that's all I can say about that. However, I did contact the reporter who wrote the story that was in the strip today, told him what was going on here, told him about the explosions, and did forward him the video of that explosion. I don't know. Frankly, the idea of contacting the press is you shame the city government into taking action. Pardon my cynicism. I think this current city government is beyond shame. If what's been reported about East Phillips is not waking them up, you know, they can build as many bike paths as they want. they can protect us from the dangers of drive-through restaurants as much as they want. But the reality is they really don't care what happens to us.
But for the sake of your neighbors, John, wouldn't you rather shame them into doing something, however small, than to see a child hurt by a bullet, stray bullet, or a speeding yes. car in your neighborhood?
Yes, I agree 100%. Thank you, Joanne, for reminding me that. I'm speaking in anger and extreme frustration, and I'm speaking under a large degree of stress. I agree with you 100%. We are not going to stop. We will do everything possible to bring this to the public's eye. That this is, there is no excuse for any city in the United States to take a neighborhood and turn it into a war zone like this. And it wouldn't take that much. Regular patrols by the police probably would make a huge difference.
Could we turn off the recording at this moment?
Recording. Quiet. I don't want me to get arrested. Yes, thank you.
Well, I think...